This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Real quick, just a follow-up. The texter who said the Texans are a team that loves to win, but it doesn't look like they hate to lose. That's a huge difference. He did follow up after you and I conversed about that for a bit, Seth, yeah. And said, I should have said the offensive line, not the whole team. I apologize. Mm. So it sounds like we convinced him, like, hey, man, maybe there are some, because there's people texting in, dude, watch a CJ Stroud press conference. That guy despises losing.
Yeah. And that's all, yeah. And we weren't trying to crush the guy or anything.
No. It's just, he knows.
Sometimes too, you always have to, when a team shows up and gets destroyed, sometimes you got to really check yourself and think, wait a second. All right, why did they get destroyed? And it was because, one player fumbled twice and then another player made a boneheaded error that led to a touchdown and they were down 21-0 really because two guys made really bad mistakes, yeah. Or maybe those two didn't show up to play, but the rest of the team ends up getting thrown under the bus because of it.
Yeah.
I think this team, despite their inability to look like the depth chart looks, to play up to what the potential looks like on paper, they have showed a lot of grit in close situations. Mm-hmm. So that's the part where I don't worry that there's something systemically wrong with the whole character of the team or anything. I think is that they've got some big problem areas from a strictly football competency side of things that are holding them back.
Yeah.
And some of that might be on Bobby Slowick, some of it's on the offensive line, but it's nothing that makes me feel like, oh, this is a team that doesn't want it.
No, I agree with that. I almost think to gauge something like that, you have to be in the locker room, like how much this guy hates losing. Like there's so little that we see as fans that would translate to how much a guy loves winning versus hating losing. You know what I mean?
I felt bad. That was that 2005 year where we were 2-14.
Yeah,
where I got really just kind of disgusted over everything was when we had to give speeches to, we had to talk to some of the guys on the team about like, hey, tone it down a little bit on the plane ride home after we got crushed. You know, like, all right, it's just there was an element there, and sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. That's one of my greatest regrets is that, like, okay, as a team leader, how was I not able to, like, squash that? But I think some of it is that it's just that's the character of the guys on your team.
Yeah.
If you don't have the right kind of guys that really care about it, yeah, then sometimes the battle is lost. There's no pep talk.
That's what
I tell myself every night when I can't go to sleep thinking about my regrets, Sean.
In 2005, yeah.
Now.
Oh, now.
20 years later.
Yeah.
Just like, don't worry, Seth. You're not that big of a bastard.
Not all cancers are curable, man. You know, like sometimes, you know, just you losing had metastasized. That's all it was. Nothing you could do about it.
We were stage four that year, man.
Yeah. All right. Have you ever had an employer back out or welch or make a promise that they just didn't follow through on? This was an interesting story. This is Pat Beverly, former Rocket. He was on his podcast talking about this, about how he got an offer 1 year from Sacramento, 3 years, $50 million. He chose to go to the Clippers for less money, $40 million, because Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers, made him a promise. This is back in 2019.
What was the higher offer?
$50 million for 3 years.
Okay.
Instead, he took $40 million for 3 years. So it's $10 million delta.
$10 million less to go play. Okay.
Because of a promise that was made. Yeah. Here it is.
So I signed my deal with the Clippers, right? I got like a 3-year $50 million from Sacramento. And I'm like, nah, I'm cool. Like, I want to stay Clippers. So I take the 3-year $40 million from the Clippers. We go to the meeting at the Ritz in Marina Del Rey. And we agree to the 3-year $40 million. And Steve Ballmer goes, with that, I'm going to give you 94 basketball courts that you could choose to put all around L.A. That's fire as f-. I think they billed two of them, and then COVID hit. So I hit my agent like, what's up with those 92 basketball courts? I see they just built the arena worth $2 billion. Like,
yeah, what's the answer? What's going with the courts, Steve?
Do I get my 92 courts? And we shook on it, too.
Steve?
I need 92 more courts, though, bro. I got a lot going on I want to do for the city of Los Angeles, man. I got 92 courts I want to build still. And you know me, I brung it back up. I was on the opposing team, I think Minnesota. I'm like, yo, where the f*** my courts at? Like, what's up? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You want to talk to Steve? I got to talk to Steve. What a courts at?
92 He owes Pat Beverly 92 basketball courts.
I don't know how much it costs to build a basketball court, but I'm guessing it's way more than what I think it should. There's just everything.
Right. Especially in L.A., right?
In L.A., and especially when you're talking about, wait, are we going to have to, like, acquire land for this? Or are we just going to go in and revamp that? I would ballpark it at $100,000. Maybe that's crazy. That's probably crazy. That's probably way too much.
Per court?
But, yeah, that's
I'm curious, are they indoor courts or the outdoor courts?
I'm guessing Ballmer. If you're talking 92 courts, that's a lot of playground courts.
Yeah,
that's got to be.
I would think so. That's what I thought.
You're not building 92 community centers or something.
I got you. Yep, I'm with you on that. I thought outdoor.
I figure 100,000 because that works out to about, that's 9.2 million,
yeah.
Close to 10 million.
Yeah.
Where Ballmer doesn't have to, you know, Ballmer's paying the same thing, but he doesn't, that's not covered. He doesn't have to worry about the luxury tax or anything like that.
Yeah.
Well, let's say it's 50,000 per court, and it's a little bit less than 5 million. That's a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to hear a Steve Ballmer response from this. And if I know anything about Mike Florio, he's going to cross over into whether or not this is a luxury, a CBA violation.
That's where I'm going with this. And that's what I'm curious about. And this is where I would back Florio on this, were he to make this one of his crusades, is did Steve Ballmer just skirt the salary cap and the luxury tax, more importantly, of $10 million? Because we know that Clippers team operates way over all the cap, or at least historically has since Ballmer got there. They are not afraid to sign star players and go way over the tax and everything. This is not the Clippers of Donald Sterling back in the day. As they just pointed out, Steve Ballmer just paid for his own arena that was $2 billion. Like, he built it, you know? So that's what I'm curious about, man. Like, is this are the Clippers a scofflaw organization, and is Steve Ballmer a welcher for not building 92 basketball courts for pay? Builds two and then like, sorry, he's like the guy that came. He's like one of those contractors that you sign up to do a pool in your backyard, and they dig the hole, and then they just don't show up anymore. Like, so now all you have is this gigantic hole in your backyard. Like, thanks a lot, Ballmer. Thanks for digging a big hole in my backyard and then walking away. Heading to Tahiti or something.
According to internet, for a concrete court, you're looking at between $15,000 and $45,000.
Oh, Ballmer's getting off easy here, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
For less than $5 million, you could have fulfilled his promise to young Patrick Beverly.
Far less than $5 million.
Could have skirted the salary cap.
Yeah.
Well, I'm figuring $50,000 per,
Yeah, probably.
These things, especially when you start, you got to grease palms in the various municipalities that you're at and all that. It's never as easy as plus this is some contractor saying that it's up to $45,800, which means, all right, you mean it's $70,000. You're just not going to tell me about it until you're midway through.
That's true. Of all the players in the NBA that I would not want to piss off because I didn't build his basketball courts, Beverly's pretty high up on that list, I think.
Yeah.
Pat Beverly will fight you over he'll fight you over very little things, let alone just skirting 92 basketball courts you promised to build him.
And I think Beverly would win that fight versus Ballmer. Steve Ballmer.
I think Ballmer would pay somebody to fight for him. Like, no, you're not fighting me, you're fighting... He'd hire like a UFC guy or something to fight.
No, Beverly. Ballmer would do that thing like from Gladiator, where Commodus hired somebody to slit his Achilles heel or something.
Yeah.
What did he do to him? Didn't Commodus have Russell Crowe's? He had something. He had him weakened somehow.
I don't remember. I've only seen Gladiator once, and it's because you shamed me into watching it. Remember that?
Yeah. Well, I expect you to be in. Me seeing it 20 times versus you seeing it once means
true.
That you should have better knowledge and memory of it. Okay?
There's a pain to Pendergast conversion chart. text message, 5-hour energy fan line. Tunsil has a very Dwight Howard feel about losing. Over it in 10 minutes, no matter how big the game is.
Yeah.
Oh, is that fair? Is that fair to Laramie Tunsil to put Dwight Howard on him?
His Tunsil, I want to be fair about this because it's, you're kind of casting aspersions and everything.
Yeah.
I think it's tough for Tunsil because his whole his whole way of kind of operating goes against the grain of your classic vision of offensive linemen.
Yes.
And, so it's hard to embrace that, and it's understandable. And it also doesn't help that his game is largely one of, it's a finesse game. You know, he's known as a really good pass protector and a sometimes good run blocker, sometimes not so much, but certainly not an impressive run blocker. So then the social media presence and everything, yeah, there's a feeling about that with people.
Someone said there is Pro Basketball Talk as a website on NBC, so unfortunately this hill will be Kurt Heelan's to die on.
But Florio would cross Florio would totally cross over if it came into a rules and regs violation.
yes. Someone says Ballmer would hire the Mountain from Game of Thrones to fight for
it. He would, yeah.
He definitely
Ballmer
would.
Is basically like, yeah.
He definitely
he's
would.
Like Tyrion here. He's yes. just gonna get somebody to fight in his stead.
I will be your champion, yes. text message, Texans will beat Detroit 31-24. Green is the one player who was killing every play. That'll be interesting.
Okay.
Like, if Jared Patterson gets in there and just plays steady, how much better does this look? Like, Kenyon Green was single-handedly destroying a dozen plays every game.
Oh, and especially, boy, two weeks in a row now. Slowick talked about how, in last week's press conference, Slowick was talking about how they wanted to come out in the third quarter. So after the two games ago, I'm blanking on
Indianapolis.
The Colts game. We want to come out and just establish ourselves in the second half. Yeah. He was talking about this before. Anyway, I think it was in the Green Bay game where they came out, and on the very first play, Kenyon Green got destroyed, pushed into the backfield.
Yep.
And then the next week, I think the same thing happened in the third quarter. So it's just been, there's been a common theme and a common denominator in a lot of the really bad plays for the Texans, where Slowick and Casario and D'Amico will tell us, hey, this is just this is something that, you know, it's multiple things all over the place, and, you know, you can't blame it on one person. Well, man, one name keeps coming up a lot. And I see it a lot.
Yep. Commodus shanked Russell Crowe right before their fight is what the text page is saying. Yeah.
What a bastard.
Stabbed him in the back is what it said, or knifed him in the stomach. I'm getting various body parts, but it sounds like Russell Crowe got stabbed by Commodus before the fight. All right, final segment coming up. Let's hear from C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud wants you guys to know this is a good football team. Also, what does he need to do more of? He was clear, very clear on that yesterday. You'll hear from the Texans quarterback coming up next.